Well, good morning. After 2 weeks, I think I definitely do not like shutting down, but we did what we had to do, and everybody that seems like they're doing well, so I'm happy about that. In your bulletin, just want to remind you, in your bulletin, y'all have one of these. So we want to. This is just praying for some of the people that serve in our denomination across seas that we'll probably never see. But they are asking us to pray for them, so it keeps you focused. The more you pray, the more you interact and do those things with the Lord, the more we have a tendency to stay closer to Him. So they're asking that we would pray for them, so we need to do that. So, all right. Well, I want to remind you that, we are in that season of Christmas. And everything that's going on can kind of keep our eyes off of the Lord, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. And we can be sidetracked by all kinds of things, but just remember, God is who He is. And I'm telling you, though, just the presence of God draws a man on his knees and drops everyone on their knees. So, but also with that, I want to tell you that there has been no other person has ever been cursed more than God. No other person. I mean, we even have a swear word with His name in it. And no one else does. There's no one that's been blamed more than God for things that's happened to them. There's no name under heaven that has been denied more than the name of Jesus Christ. But yet God still loves people. Even when we are faithless, He is still faithful. And when it comes to following Christ, I want to remind you that it is a commitment. Not just on Sunday and not just for part of your life. But from the time you come to Christ, it is a commitment. That your ideas and your opinions on how we could be able to live life, if it does not wrap around God's Word, and it does not move slowly and work through God's Word, and you work through it and you wrestle with it, then your opinion will fall about an inch off your face and off your mouth. Because there's only one true Word, and that is the Word of God. Regardless of what the world says and does. This world was made by God's hands, amen? This is all God's. And we are God's creation. And a few people wanted to ask a question about following Christ. And He says this in Luke chapter 9. It's not where I'm going to be. But I want to read this to get us started. In verse 57. As they were walking along, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. God, when you come to Christ, Christ wants you all 100% of you. Not 50% of you, not 99% of you, but He died for you. And you ask for that forgiveness and you asked Him to be a part of your life and to be your Lord and you accepted Him and all those things. We have no obligation except to give ourselves to Him 100%. And I guarantee you, every one of us have failed that from time to time. But He is faithful. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Kings because I want to call out a small story about the amazing and the awesomeness of God and how man kind of tries to get it together and then still somehow we can still drop it all. Solomon is the king. It comes after his father, David. David was the great king Solomon is his son. Came from an adulterous affair. After all of that, it's not the baby from the adulterous affair, but it was from Bathsheba. And after David repented and asked for forgiveness, God forgave him and then allowed Bathsheba and David to have children. And Solomon was a son, the son. And David has got into age and had passed away, and now Solomon is now king. A lot of responsibility to be king. None of us here understand that. Not even a president of the United States understands the responsibilities of what a king has. And I believe no other king has any more responsibility than this man here. For what God gave to him was even greater responsibility. This also reminds us, as we go in, on the importance of Christian parents. Chapter 3 of 1 Kings. He says in verse 3, we're going to skim through some. He says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David. So his father David, who has passed on, taught his son Solomon the ways of the Lord. Now I know as an adult father, Christian, that I am supposed to teach my children the ways of the Lord. These are the ways of the Lord right here. And that means we do things that the rest of the world does not do. That is different. And in that, I know that I only have a specific amount of time to raise these children. Once they're born, the gate comes open and you have them, but it does close. They go out of the home and they become young adults. And no longer can I tell them what to do, but I can still speak into their life if they want to listen. And if they want to do it, they don't have to listen to me. But Scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. It doesn't say just when you're at home, amen? But also when they're adults. That's the difference between the Christian family and the worldly family. And David taught his son the ways of the Lord. Now I know the most grieving part of a father and mother, a Christian, is this, when a child goes wayward. And they have brought them up in the ways of the Lord, and they've decided to go in another direction. I will tell you, parents who love their children, who are believers, who've raised their children up, not perfectly, but in the best way that they could, with some flaws, it happens. They fill their nights with prayers for their children. Amen? Come on now. Amen? And if your children are great, just wait. Then little things start happening. They start hopping and walking, and they're called grandchildren. So if your children are doing great, wait. You'll have a grandchild that will go wayward. You always, as a parent, be praying for a family and a loved one that is straying. But Solomon has learned the ways of the Lord. He had an issue, though. It says this, except he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. Now, there were places that people worshipped other things and idols, and they did things. And God didn't like those things, but it's particularly, as we see here, that what we see here is God still working with an individual who's got some hiccups in his life. He's got some sin in his life. He's got some things in his life. But aren't we thankful that God still works with us? Just because we come to Christ doesn't mean we don't sin. And Solomon decides he's going to go to Gibeon and he's going to do some sacrifices to God. And he does those. And something happens while he's there. He says this. He says, at Gibeon in verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. So the Lord comes to Solomon in a dream. And this is what God says, he asks a question. Ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Basically, Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Now, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not a genie in a bottle. Not the I dream a genie thing. Jesus, when Jesus was walking in his ministry, he would come to different places and into cities and towns, and he would ask many times, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And many times, and almost most of the time, they would say, because he knew that they had an obstacle in their life. I can't see. I want to see. I want to walk. And Jesus would heal them, right? And there was a time when an individual came and said, hey, I have a master who is sick, servant who is sick. And Jesus said, I'm going to come. And he said, no, don't come. You don't need to come. Just say the word and we know what's going to happen. And Jesus says, I have not found this kind of faith in all Jerusalem. So Jesus asks people, what do you want me to do? God here says, what do you want me to do? And Solomon answered, this is what he says, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. Let me remind you, we all know right now the things that David did. Had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, had her husband, you're the Hittite, killed out in battle, counted the fighting men, didn't take care of an incest rape in his own family, didn't really take care of that. He had an uproar and rebellion in his own household for the kingdom, for the throne. But when David is mentioned, if those things are never mentioned, you know why? Because when God forgives, he forgives. Aren't you glad that when the Lord talks to you, hey, adulterous family member, hey, you liar? Nope, God doesn't do that, does he? God doesn't do that. Because we've asked for forgiveness, and the Bible says he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and to remember them no more. So God does what he says he's going to do, amen? But Solomon also is humble. I'm going to tell you, when you go humbly before the Lord listens. Oh my, he listens. And Solomon is coming humbly before the Lord. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now he says in verse 7, now Lord my God, you have made your servant king in this place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Oh, I wish people in leadership in our country would act like this. Oh my gosh. I don't care what House, Senate, Congress, I don't care what party, if they would just say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, that I just need you to help me make a decision today. And Solomon did that. And I want to tell you, when you humble yourself before God, you got God's attention. And he says, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people who you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Oh my. Even though we may be thinking everybody in the political world would do that, but just think if we would just do this in our own families, and the mayor of every town and every city would do that. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. These people are so big, there's so many. Give me a discerning heart to get to govern the people, to know right from wrong, because sometimes when we do something right, it's actually wrong. And sometimes things we say is not right. But the Holy Spirit works through us and can give us that gift to know what's right and what's wrong and what's right and what to do. For he says, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? I'm going to tell you, when you, in your prayers with a question, expect a response. Amen. Because what we end up doing is say, Lord, we go through our list and we say, in the name of the Lord, amen. We've said what we wanted to say and left no room for the Father to speak back. End with a question. And Lord, how do you want my day to end? What do you want me to do throughout this day? And whatever it is, Lord, put it up on my heart that I might do what you called me to do. Amen. Lord, how can I be the believer that you want me to be? How can I be a child of God that lets the light shine, your light shine, and reflect off of me into this dark community? Lord, how can show me how I can share your name without being offensive in a way that I can share it with my father or my mother or my family at Christmas time? Ask. The Bible says ask and you shall receive. And he says, who is able to govern this great people of yours? And then Solomon's time is done. Now the Lord's getting ready to speak. And I love the things of the Lord. Whew. Here he goes. And the Lord was pleased. I'm telling you, when the Lord is pleased, it's always good. It's always good. My prayer today was this, just sitting up there in the balcony, was this. Lord, when you look down on New Life, upon the congregation, upon the singing, upon the preaching, and whatever we do here, may it put a smile on your face. And you do whatever you want to do. But I want you to go with a smile on your face. You know, as a child, when you're growing, when you grew up and you're a teen, because in teen, many of us were pretty rebellious, some of us. But wasn't it always nice when you put a smile on your parents' face? Sometimes you had maybe a grumpy father who didn't smile much, but when he did and he cracked that smile, did it not feel good? Of course it did. Of course it did. And the Lord my God, you have made... Verse 10. And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life and wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies. That's what we do. We ask those kind of things. Lord, help me. And we do. That's okay. That's good. Help me. Help my finances. Help this. Help that. Bless this. Bless that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think our prayers need to be blended and be mixed up with lots of prayers for other people. Amen. And he says, because he didn't ask for those things, he says, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice. Verse 12, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. So he's going to give Solomon what he asked for. Now, that's why I always say, be careful what you ask for. Because God's gifts and his answers are big. That may be small to someone else, but in your life, it could be big. It's big. You ask for it. Okay? You spend time on what your need is. And he says, I want to be wise. I don't know how to govern it. So the Lord calls it out as wise and a discerning heart, which is wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to do with what you know. Knowledge is knowing things, knowing about things. Wisdom is knowing how to do those and how to discern those things. And Solomon is now going to be a different man when he wakes up. He says, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. There is no one, I don't care if it's Einstein, I don't care if it's any of these great professors and scientists, I just forgot the name I was going to use, the guy that was in the paralegic, I forgot his name. I don't care how smart they are, no one has been as smart as Solomon. Well, they say, well, today we have computers, we have all these things. Listen, God's word said there was no one as smart as Solomon. nor will there ever be. He knew about things that people may not even know today. If you get and you start reading into the scriptures, you'll find that people were coming from all over the world. He was a magnet for answers. A magnet that people would come and ask questions to. You can read on and you'll see the Queen of Sheba coming, asking questions. And guess what? He always had an answer. He always had an answer. And he says, now, no one's going to be like you. Now, moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Now I'm going to give you what you have not asked for. Wealth and honor. Wealth and honor. So that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And that is true. In his lifetime, now there were other kings later on that would have more than him, but not in his lifetime. But when it came to wisdom, there was no one like him even in the future. He says, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. It's circling back to his father now. And that's what we need to remember. What were the Christian things that our father and mother had taught us, those who are raised in a godly Christian family? We do not abort those things. We do not abandon those things. And then it says, then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. And we see some great pieces of what Solomon is doing. But I want to tell you, it's not, we as believers have salvation. You have a great start in your walk with Christ. It is called salvation. You have a great start at salvation. But you cannot quit at salvation. You cannot quit 5 years later. You cannot get upset and want to abandon the ship 15 years later because somebody spoke to you and offended you. Listen, like I said in the beginning, no name has been offended more than the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said persecution will come. And sometimes that is even in your own family. Now, what we hear is the second part. Let me move on here to chapter 9. The Lord appears to Solomon again. I'm not going to read all of this, but he finished the temple. That was something that David wanted to do. But God would not allow David to build the temple because he was a man of blood. His hands had blood on him. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. And Solomon wasn't. And so he was able to make the temple. And Solomon prays again and dedicates the temple. He's staying focused on the Lord. And so they did that, and the Lord appeared to him. And then he says this in verse 3, I have heard the prayer and plea that you made before me, and I have consecrated this temple. In verse 4, and as for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I've commanded and observe in my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. But he says in verse 6, but if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe my commandments, and then he says, I will reject the temple. I want to tell you that our walk with the Lord today has to be, we have to be committed. We have to be committed. We have to be committed. If you do not keep your walk with the Lord on being faithful, something else will creep in and it will become faithful. Because we can't help it. We were created to worship God. And if we don't worship God, we will worship something else. And America worships itself. And riches and money and fame and all that. But it's about self. And in chapter 11, what we find out is it's not how you start, it's how you end. Today, I believe Satan is trying to lure Christians from being faithful to God. I believe right now he's working with husbands and wives to try to cause division. I believe he's trying to get the churches to work with the world and start to accept homosexuality preaching from the pulpit. Doesn't mean they come to church. I'll love on them. I love people. I just love people. I love sinners. I don't love the sin they do, but I also am reminded that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I know that Satan also tries to come in and tell the young teenagers that they don't have to listen to their parents. We even have laws now in some states that you can, I forget the name of it, but you can pretty much divorce your family, even as a teen. You can do all kinds of things. Whatever makes you feel good, that's what Satan wants. Whatever makes you feel good. But let me tell you, when you leave your commitment with Christ, your blessings, they stay where God is. They stay where God is. Solomon had a problem. He liked the ladies. There's nothing wrong with liking one lady and loving one lady. Now, this is a time when kings would have a few wives. Okay, that was their culture. That's what it was. God put up with it. Let's read it. King Solomon, however, in verse 1, loved many foreign women. Now, every nation is built upon some type of religion. Did you know that? Back then, the Egyptians, it's all about Isis and Anubis and all their gods and idols. They had a couple of hundred of them. Molech and all kinds of them. They were all around in all kinds of countries. But Israel was about God and God alone, right? Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm a one God God. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, Sodomites, the Hittites. They were from nations from which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them. And let me tell you, when leadership does it, people follow leadership. The king does it, I can do it too. The preacher does it, I can do it too. Daddy does it, I can do it too. Grandpa does it, grandma does it, I can do it too. You see, leadership is everywhere. Big brother does it. Big sister does it. And he had all these ladies from all over the world from which God said not to choose from, because God knew them. And he says, verse 2, they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Let me tell you, if God says something, that means he knows. He said, they will turn your heart away. He said this. If you go back to Leviticus, you'll see it. Deuteronomy, you'll see it. And he, the smartest man in the world is falling for this. What's he doing? He's throwing out all of his wisdom and knowledge and following emotion. Now, some of these royal weddings were about deals with countries and things. That's how they did those. But let's look at it. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Be careful who and what you love. Now, there's a difference between I love pizza and I love tacos. Then I love a woman, okay? Or I love a man. There's a difference. And he loved them. And then it says he had 700 wives of royal birth. 700. Then he probably couldn't remember who wife 499 was. They were to be faithful to him. But he had all these wives speaking into his ear. Be careful who you let speak in your ear. Be careful who you listen to. Because you listen to them long enough, you're going to start breaking down. And you're going to give in because you don't want to hear it no more. I'm tired of hearing it. 700 wives. It didn't stop there. And 300 concubines. They wanted to have sex with this one. He could do that. If he wanted to make them go over there and make the beds and make the tables and cook over here and cook over there. And this one here cooks great Chinese and this one over here cooks great Mexican, whatever it may be. Let me tell you something. This is a nightmare. Don't you think this was fun and pleasure and all that? This was a nightmare. Let me think. Think about it. Think about it. 700 wives of royal. Now, the concubines just did whatever they want. They couldn't say anything. They just did what they were told to do. This is a man of God. He picked up 300 concubines. But he had 700 wives of royal deals and all of that. Now, how does that work? They can speak. Now, they're able to speak into his ear sometimes. How would you like to try to get a meeting with this guy? You didn't get a meeting with him. He met a meeting. If you were important, if he wanted to meet with you, he'd meet with you. That's it. He had too many people in his life. Let alone, it doesn't even talk how many kids he's got. But here's a part nobody really reads in Scripture. As Solomon grew old, it's not about how you start. When you start with Jesus, he's got you. I'm telling you, he's gonna hold you. But as we grow in our walk with the Lord, I'm telling you, you start to get free rein. You start moving. You start doing things. It's like a young child. We start growing up. We become adults. It says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, because there's not enough room. If you have a relationship with God, I'm telling you, there's only room enough for his love, because his love is huge. And we can't really contain it all. And there's no room for anything else to love. There's no room for any other gods in there but one God. So we grew old. Let me tell you, listen, we need to honor our elderly people in this church. We don't have a lot. Wait around 10 years. Some of us are going to get older and we're going to have more gray hair and we're going to be the elderly ones. But just because they got gray hair doesn't mean they got a great relationship with Christ. That has been one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the Southern Baptist Church across this country. Because a man is called to be a deacon 40 years ago, they all think that he is a man of God living his life right, but God knows different. Just because someone has gray hair doesn't mean their life is right with God. And here it is. This man is getting older and his heart is turned away from the Lord, is not fully devoted to the Lord God anymore as the heart of his father David. What is it and how did it work? It worked like this. This is the scripture that people don't read. He followed Azareth, the goddess of the Sidonians. So he followed that god, Hazareth, and Moloch. This is one that God could not stand because they would sacrifice children to this god, throw them in fire and worship this god of Moloch. And Solomon is beginning to fall for this. He followed Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. And remember, David did some bad, sinful things. But what David did was sought forgiveness and he repented from it. Solomon is not doing his part. He's not dealing with it. He's just living with it. And when you live with your sin, it's still yours. And just because he's older now doesn't mean that he's all good and perfect. Let me bust everyone's bubble for a minute, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I have done a lot of funerals in 20 years, 22 years. I've done a lot of funerals. And this is what grandkids always say. My grandpa was awesome. I know he's in heaven today. Not a shred of Jesus Christ in any conversation. granddaughter. My grandma was just so great. I know she's so good. She's in heaven today. No. We do not get to heaven. We do not have. No, it all goes through Jesus Christ. That is the only door to the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Not because you get old and you just loved on your grandkids. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of elderly people that have turned their back on God and never accepted Him and refused the gift of salvation. And just because they were kind and nice to their grandkids does not mean that they're in heaven. Heaven is only for those who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Amen? Amen? And when I say that, I have the images of my grandparents flow through my mind, as I know I have few that I know that are in heaven for how they profess Christ, but I have one that had told me, and you all heard me say it when I witnessed to him. He said, "Jimmy, if there is a hell, I'm going." And this is the last time I was able to witness to him. But I also know that it was 2 years later that he died, so I prayed, always prayed, that someone intervened in his life. That's my only hope. But if my hope is in Jesus, it is the best hope. It is the best hope. But I'll tell you, that was the hardest words to hear in my life so far. Just because they're old doesn't mean they go to heaven. Solomon is turning to gods. Can I tell you, unfortunately, that there are people that I have skimming. We are going to celebrate 20 years next year for New Life. I've been looking through pictures to figure out what ones, because Ben was helping me, but now I'm trying to finish this up and looking through some pictures of who and what to put on the book. And I can tell you literally, there's a few times I almost want to break down and just kind of shed a tear because I see that one there is not serving Jesus anymore. They had such a fire for God, but they have turned away and living the ways of the world, and in fact, almost cursed God now. That breaks my heart. And their life is not good. And it wasn't just one face. It wasn't just two faces. Unfortunately, it was a lot of faces. And that breaks my heart. And then I saw some loved ones that had gone off to be with Jesus that stayed and stood strong to the end of their life. And they finished well. And that put a joy on my face. When I saw a picture of Luetta, those of you remember, going in the parade at 80-some years old with a smile on her face, always talking about Jesus, I said, "You go, girl. You're in heaven." But Solomon, as much as I said that I prayed that God see and look down today and have a smile upon his face by us as a congregation and as singing and as preaching in our prayers, but also looking at the hearts of the people, that he would have a joyful smile on his face today. There also comes the scripture here that I do not like to read, but it is part of it. In verse 9, the Lord became angry. The Lord became angry. I know it sounds like a long time ago, but in 1989, I was living my life the way that I wanted to as a Christian, but I was living it the way that I wanted to. And I had great offers to work undercover. We'll get into that and all that, the drug teams and things. And they've offered me that 5-year contract. It's something I shared before. But I want to tell you, that was the first time in my life that I knew God was angry with me. It is the worst feeling that I believe that a Christian can have. But here's what I knew in my life and my heart then. I expected it was coming. Why did I know that it was coming? Because my life wasn't right. I was doing what I wanted to do. But you know what he did? He gave me a way out. He gave me an opportunity. You know how you see Solomon in his dreams? He said, "That dream you keep having, If you keep this, it comes true." And basically, in my dream, me and my partner got shot in a drug deal in an alley in Germany. And I had it almost every single night, over and over. And I didn't take it, and I came back, and God began to work on my life again. You see, when God gets angry with you, he gives you opportunity to get it right. He gives us the warnings, but he tells us we need to get it right. And Solomon didn't get it right. But when God visited him on that second time in a dream, he told him this: you need to obey these things. If not, I will come and I'll take it away. And here it is. He did not obey. He took the other road. And praise God, thank you, Jesus, that I took that right road in 1989. Because I would not be here. This is the road that you don't want to take. You forget God when you take this road. And he took it, and the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord. God can deal with everything and anything, but when your heart turns away from him, he has nothing else to do but to put the hammer down because you're his child. And we all know that there's been times, us as have been parents, and we've had to take that young boy or that young girl outside and we had to put a whooping on him. Amen? Now, the world don't teach that anymore, but there's been times I've had to take my middle son and give him a whooping. And if he's listening to this in Missouri, I love you, buddy. But some of them need extra whoopings, right? I'm telling you, in 89, I needed the switch off the tree. And it didn't feel good. But I'm telling you, he knew where I was heading. And Solomon didn't listen. He listened to the other voices that were speaking into his life. These were women who were worshiping gods and idols that were not real, but were demonic. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and despise the other. This is proof. You can't give your heart to Moloch and God at the same time. This is why it says his heart began to grow away, and he began to go toward these gods. And then when you go toward those gods, you're going away from God. You can't be in two places at the same time. You can't love two at the same time. So he said, the Lord became angry. Because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, this is your attitude. And I want to tell you something. When your walk is not right with God, you don't have a very good attitude. You don't have a very good godly Jesus attitude. He says, so since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. And let me tell you, you get a chance to read it, it happens. Because whatever God says, what? It happens. And then he says, Nevertheless, God says this. I'll tell you, God's grace is awesome. Even in our worst, God has some grace. Amen. For the sake of David, why is God always talking about David? Because the scripture says David was a man after God's own heart. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be people after Jesus' own heart. Right? But for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I'm not going to do it during your lifetime. Matter of fact, if you know your Bible, he says that same thing to Hezekiah. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. What is God saying here? He's saying, I remember the promises I made to my other servant, David, your father. I'm going to keep that promise. Even though you messed up, I'm going to keep that promise because of your father, David. Let me tell you, the prayers that you pray for your children as they are young, and maybe they didn't get answered that day. Remember, what you say to God, God heard it. Amen. Thankful for that. There are still some things that I've prayed over a long time ago. I'm still waiting for God so I can see what happens. I'm waiting for an answer. And some of those I may not see here, but I'll know the answer when I get to heaven. And you may be the same. You may be the same. Folks, it may not be 700 wives and 300 concubines for you, but there's something that Satan is using to try to draw you from your relationship with Christ. And if you know yourself like you do, you know what it is. You know what it is. And if you let that be ruling, if you let that rule your life, it will end up becoming king of your life and it end up becoming God of your life. I don't know who you have in your heart, but I pray that it is Jesus Christ. Because that's the only one that needs to be there. I don't know where your heart is. Only God does, and only you do. I don't know where you need to do in your life to get it right with God, but I'm telling you, if we follow the ways of David, it always is this: seek forgiveness and repentance, which means turn away from it. Get your life right with God today so that tomorrow will be a better day. It just happens. It's just a part of it. And for the rest of you trying to figure out, Lord, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do with it. I want to tell you, if you sit down and you start to pray with God, and you start praying to Him, and you leave your prayers with a question, that means when you leave a question and you ask the question, you're always waiting for a response. Start ending some of your prayers with a question to God and to be responsive and listen to what He might say to you. You may be surprised on how God speaks to you. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. This is our time of invitation.